you know, as part of this transition strategy that we've been working on over the past 2.5 years, the effort here is to support a broad spectrum of industries in Southeast Alaska, including the timber industry. And we have actually established a roadmap there where we are not relying over the next 5 years on roadless areas to provide timber to local milling industries. The roadless rule, it's a complicated subject, but I think people have to understand precisely how it works and what it includes or excludes. One of the things that is not often understood is that the roadless rule has a number of exceptions to it. So, for example, if you have a pre-existing right to conduct activities in a roadless area, you would be able to continue to do that. So, with respect to certain mining operations or oil and gas operations, the roadless rule doesn't preclude that if you have the pre-existing right. There are probably a half a dozen exceptions beyond that, which would allow people in certain cases to be able to go in and construct roads in these roadless areas. So I think it's important for people to understand that, and when the court order was finally issued recently, it did specify that there were a variety of hydro projects, mining projects, and transmission line projects or interties which would be allowed. And the court also made clear that there are other projects where it would not prejudge the outcome of whether those would be allowed or disallowed. So, you know, I think we have to look at this in a comprehensive way. These roadless areas do represent important values for all of us, I think. And we have to understand that, for example, in Alaska, having a healthy, vibrant national forest is very important to protecting a viable fishery in Alaska, both a commercial fishery and a recreational fishery. Tourism and recreation are clearly not incompatible with roadless areas. And as I say, hydropower, renewable energy projects, a number of these may well be allowed, even though there is a roadless rule, as the court's order indicated. So, you know, we're taking a comprehensive look at this. I think obviously the state of Alaska will do so as well, and I think we need to keep in close communication about these issues.
And I wonder if you could also kind of give us an example of what we could see later on in the Forest Service overhaul of planning rules for national forests, and would there be any potential impact on management of the tongass?
The national planning rule is under consideration right now. We have a we have just completed the public comment period. Nationally, we got about 350,000 comments submitted to us. We're going through those comments, and our goal here is to try to finalize a national planning rule by the end of 2011. Once we finalize that rule, it will, in certain ways, impact all of our forest plans across the United States. So I can't predict exactly right now what it will mean for the tongass forest plan, the TLOMP, but it, you know, I think we'll have to just wait to see what the national planning rule provides. But I do anticipate, just as the way the planning rules are structured, that based on what is included in these planning rules will then translate over time to the individual